My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm overjoyed to be with you today. Today, y'all, it's episode 2 in the Navigating Love Avoidance series, where we are understanding how love avoidance behaviors affects our life and how to learn strategy to build healthier connections. And so last week we looked at going from being love avoidant to love available. That is the balanced way. That is the open way we want to show up in this world. But in the meantime and in between time, we are still learning. We're still growing. In fact, the relationships that we are in, for better or for worse, they actually help us become this healed version of ourselves. There's no such thing. If you've been with me for a while, you have heard me say, I don't believe in this concept that you have to earn your way to have love. You know, so we're not doing any of this stuff here so that we can finally call in a partner and, you know, be the best and like earn this, what we think is going to make our life better. We are healing because we deserve to heal. We are healing because we deserve to feel love, starting with our love for ourselves. And then by doing that, everything else around us changes. And so when we look at these specialized topics like love avoidance, it's because as much as we may love being independent and love knowing ourselves and love having boundaries, when it comes to love avoidance, it's about these are things that are happening in excess. So the things that were our biggest assets in some contexts and some relationships end up pushing away the exact thing that we want. And so we're here to find that balance. And that balance is becoming love available, knowing yourself, but also being available to love. But like I was saying, as we are healing and as we're going through this and we're learning about ourselves, we are still going to be falling in love, catching feelings for people, having crushes, experimenting, building friendships, you know? And so in today's episode, we're going to look at what do you do? What are some things to keep in mind when you like someone as a love avoidant? We're going to talk about what are some of the common traps that we put ourselves in, the mindset issues that may happen, and how to make sure that we stay grounded and that we are not going towards finding a project. You know, we think we found the one, but we just found another project, which is a common occurrence for those of us who are love avoidants. We pick up people who need a lot of work, and we end up being drained by it at the end. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. If you would like to join me in going deeper with this episode is topics, you can find the worksheet for this episode by going to blackgirlsheal.org/members. You can download it and also any other episode that was within our episode archive. And in every worksheet, there's a recap of the notes, a challenge, and healing prompts and journal prompts for you to go deeper. You can join me by going to blackgirlsheal.org/members and cancel anytime. So that is it for now. We are going to jump into this episode after this jump right here. There may be another intro into the topic, but that's it for now. Let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Okay, when you like someone as a love avoidance, whenever I tell people who are in recovery, especially from love addiction, but whenever I'm talking about recovering from all of these, they are all painful because for you to do the work, you're going to have to engage with underlying trauma and unlearn those things and start to believe that maybe the things people said to you weren't true. Maybe things weren't your fault. Maybe the things that you need that you're not needing too much. Maybe you're perfectly normal and beautiful and perfect exactly as you are. And those can be very, very difficult, foreign, nonsensical things to believe, even though in your heart you want to believe that is true and other people tell you it's true. There's just so many
weeds and things that crowd it out. So you do that work. And I think a lot of times people think because of the intensity around love addictive behaviors and just the obsession, the rumination, the deep crying spells, the deep pain, even stalking, even suicidal thoughts, panic attacks. I mean, all the things that can happen and do happen when you're in an addictive relationship and you're starting to pull away the intense guilt and shame and you're a bad person that comes up. People will believe that once you heal from love addiction, then it's going to be easy because you have so much love to give, and now you're going to be open and available to be with healthy partners. And I always say that if anything, once you stop those patterns, that's when myth love avoidance comes into play. So we're constantly in a stage of healing and growth, because love addiction is like layer one to protect you. And then love avoidance comes in to protect you from being seen. So love avoidance is what we use to keep people away because we are deeply afraid of either being hurt, of being judged, of being misunderstood, of them seeing any of the cracks and flaws that we have learned very well to hide or to overcompensate for or to fix. And if someone gets close enough to see all the things that I haven't been able to fix yet or perfect or, solve, whatever, then that is deeply scary. That is deeply scary because we learn to be safe by having this projected image. We learn to be safe by always being in control and by being able to write our own narrative. And so real intimate relationships, they see you flaws and all. They comment on it. They are there to see when you haven't been able to, fix your makeup after you've been crying. And now they are seeing you super exposed. And that type of intimacy and that type of care is devastatingly dangerous and scary for many of us. And so I said all that stuff about love addiction to say I just want to prep you for if you have been healing from this process and now you're with an amazing person that you really want to get to know and you find yourself pulling back and you find yourself having doubt and you find yourself trying to make yourself be busy and you find yourself doing all this stuff. First of all, I want you to practice some self-kindness and grace and congratulate yourself for seeing that this is your defense mechanism. I think a lot of times love avoidance gets swept under the rug and we don't realize it because we think, just people got to keep up with us. if they can't fit into my lifestyle and my flow, then it's a them thing. It's not a me thing. I'll find somebody who can. I don't need them is our magic refrain. But for you, being able to practice self-accountability and knowing that relationships take mutuality and take work and also knowing your susceptibility to rejection and pain, it is no easy feat to be honest with yourself about those things. So I really do want you to validate that and see that part of yourself. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I want you to know that all of these things that have been learned can also be unlearned. Every single one of us came into this world with an open heart, with just the desire to play, to be loved, to connect, with eyes of wonder, with eyes of hope. And we learned these things. And so because they were strategies and coping mechanisms that were put upon us, we can learn the same thing in the opposite direction as well. We just have to be patient and kind and giving to ourselves things that often we weren't given before. So with that said, let's talk about three things that I want you to keep in mind when you are with someone that you really like and you're getting to know as a love avoidance. Same disclaimer as last week's episode. Some of you are already in long-term partnership relationships and you've been with them for a big while. You still may be able to get some things from here, especially because with just the nature of relationships that ebb and flows where some days I really love you and some days I need you to get away from me and just falling into patterns. Knowing these ways to move closer to them just puts it on your radar in case it is something that is a good takeaway for you today. So the first thing is, as a love avoidance, you need to practice and hone the skill of telling them about your day and letting them into what's going on in your mind and your heart and your inner working. Now, this is different because typically with my ladies who are love addicted, I will talk about strategies and rules to kind of pull back a little bit more and to not be on text all day and to not be calling them all day and to have a lot of limits. But with my love avoidant ladies, y'all need to learn how to push forward. You need to learn how to be more available to these conversations, to moments that are not controlled, to spontaneity, to not having rehearsed communication, to just allow all of that stuff down and just be yourself. Something so important that I missed in my intros too is that these are things that I'm going to tell you to do or suggest for you to do. Suggest for you to do with people who are healthy and available. If you are doing this as a love avoidant with someone who is either narcissistic or someone who is very love addicted towards you, you are actually going to be enabling, without intending to, you're going to be enabling this insatiable need that that person has on the other end to have more of you. There's never going to be enough sharing, giving, communication that's going to satisfy a narcissist or someone who's love addicted to you, because they're trying to use this connection to you to fill something within that you're never going to be able to fill. And so what that means for you as someone who's trying to communicate and be open and share your day because Sheena told you to, you're going to start to feel drained and depleted because it's going to be very soul sucking to you. And I think that's what happens with a lot of love avoidance when we don't quite do our work fully and we don't pay attention to red flags and we're not clear on the patterns of the people that we attach to. We try to do these really healthy things with unhealthy people, and all of our fears and all of our traumas get reinforced because they do exactly the things that we don't want them to do. And then we say, well, see, that's why I don't let people in. That's why I don't talk about things. That's why, because they just want so much. I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so smothered. I feel so claustrophobic. And yeah, because you're sharing your life with people who low-key don't have their own life. And this is with love, y'all. Remember, I'm a love addict. I am a recovering love addict. And y'all know. I'll talk specifically about love addicts. As love addicts, we can have a really great life, but what happens with us is when we get with someone that we really like and enjoy, we just want more of them. And so our life slowly disappears. We slowly stop hanging out with our friends. We slowly stop doing hobbies because hanging out with you becomes our hobby. You become our best friend. And it's not intentional. It's not because we are trying to deify you. It's just what happens. It's part of that attachment. It's part of that learned coping mechanism that is subconscious. And with narcissists, it is their own severe trauma that shows up in them seeing people as property for domination, for control, and all the stuff that goes along with it. So really, there's not going to be enough that you can give them because they're always going to want more and move the goalposts. So going back to what this looks like for you in sharing your day as a love avoidant, it means just initiating not only hellos, it might mean taking pictures of what you're doing throughout the day. It might mean sharing a thought that you have instead of waiting for them to share a thought first. If you're thinking about them, maybe let them know, is what I'm saying, is that don't play a game of chicken. But like, I'm only going to say something nice if they say something nice. And even when they do say something nice, I'm going to play it cool and reserved and just be real chill about it. Let them know that you like them back. It feels good. It feels good for you, and it feels good for them. I think even, you know, about half a year ago, I had a couple of indirect references to masculine and feminine energy because it was a concept that I was using that was healing a lot of things within me. And I know because of all the things that I listen to, for those who are very attuned to the structure of what a lot of feminine energy teachers teach, which is you need to be more reserved and play it cool. But there's one concept in there, or one nuance to that, which really aligns with what I'm saying, is it basically tells you to be a person of pleasure and joy and happiness. right? To be someone who, not even just romantic partners, but coworkers, friends, family members, that when they are around you, they feel ease, flow, vibrance, life, because it is what you give yourself. And if you're that type of person who is super open, who is super available, that means those type of people don't filter themselves and they don't censor themselves when they really like someone, when something brings them joy. They don't say, okay, well, I'm only going to smile 40%. They smile with their whole chest, with their whole mouth. They say thank you, and they receive it, and they sparkle a little bit because they just feel so good. And so as a love avoidant, it's going to be you allowing yourself to unlearn some of those games of, you know, the ball and who's in charge and all that, and just fully be yourself. Because here's the thing, someone who likes you is going to be available for you. If they don't like you, it's going to lead to you. They're going to make excuses. They're going to be flaky. You're going to be confused. People who are available and intentional about you, they are going to pursue you. And so it's safe for you to move forward. The people who are doing all the other confusing stuff I just said, if you've been doing your self-work, if you have been unlearning these patterns, if you've been seeing, okay, this is where I went go wrong sometimes, and this is why I do that, and this is what I need to learn instead to do, when those red flags happen, you're going to catch that, and you're going to be out of there. I see that with my students all the time. They see this stuff from the beginning now, and it makes dating, how do I want to say this? I want to say it makes dating different. That's the word I'm going to use. Because when you are ignorant to all these red flags and these things, you'll date someone like your dating card is always full. You're always doing things and you're always, you know, hanging out with people and all of that stuff. But once you become aware and the blinders are open, it's not that you become more discriminant. It's just you can't go back. Like, you can't fake it just to have a good time. It gets old. And even if you try to entertain it, it's like, man, you wilding right now. Or a girl, this is way too much. And you will pull back. And so only do this with people who are healthy and available, and be free to do it. And also trust yourself to know that you don't have to, once you get to this place of self-balance and self-trust, you don't have to, as a love avoidant, put people through a million tests to see if they're healthy, because you're already operating in the world as an available person. And so you just trust that anyone who comes across me who is not operating the standards that I desire for them to have access to me, then I can end that relationship. I'm not going to live my life in a box because I'm afraid of what someone may or may not do. I'm not going to let anyone else. This is how you take your power back as a love avoidant, because one of the core fears that we have as love avoidance is people trying to take our independence, take our freedom, try to make us do things we don't want to do. And so the way you take your freedom back is actually to be more available and more open, and not live your life muted in a muted fashion because of the messed up things that people did in your past, but to be fully you. And like I said in the previous episode, the people who are attracted to you are attracted to the full version of you. So if you as a love avoidant, you know, y'all are flirting, y'all are, you know, kicking, y'all are really in your honeymoon period, and then you start to feel that things are getting a little bit too intimate, and you start to pull back, and you start to fall into those games and this might be too much, or I don't want to seem too clingy, or I don't want to seem too blah, 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 blah. Honey, those are the exact things that y'all mutually liked about each other. So why would you stop doing those things? You know, it is safe to move forward until the signs show you that it's not. And then you can learn, cut it off and learn from that lesson, and use that for your discernment for the next partner or partners that you decide to be with. If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought, that was powerful, but now what? BGH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well, in-depth worksheets for every topic we cover, and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey.
Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. And recently, I learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It's actually more hormones that are at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, and you just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me a personalized insight into what might be happening with my hormones so that I can start to do better. And the quiz suggested that I have symptoms that may align with having high estrogen, which is one of many hormones that Hormone Harmony can help to regulate. Hormone Harmony's herbal formula doesn't just help with estrogen, though. It assists with testosterone, and it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which we all know can wreak havoc on the nervous system and everything it's connected to. Though big changes often help, smaller habits like taking supplements, like Hormone Harmony, can offer a huge impact as well. Taking care of your hormones is about investing in your long-term health. If you don't know where to start, take their free hormone quiz and you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. But whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, this quiz helps to guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take the free 2-minute hormone quiz today. And for a limited time, you'll also get 50% off your entire first order with my code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
So, telling them about their day, texting them, check-ins, calling, initiating. For love avoidance, I think you need to do that a little bit more, and it's probably going to land you in an average area. You think it's going to land you in stalker area, but as a love avoidant, you probably don't do it at all. So just a little bit more is probably going to still land you in a very conservative place, but at least people aren't guessing, and you're also getting the enjoyment that you need because you're talking to them because you like them. So why rob yourself of the opportunity to connect with someone that you really like? Okay. So this kind of aligns with the second one, which is initiate compliments and kindness and soft moments with them too. Pet names, thinking about you, I miss you. Whenever I have been in my full love avoidance stance, I would only be responsive to those types of comments if they did it first. And even then I'll be like, thanks, appreciate it. Aw. And I know that there are some people who will teach that's kind of a good thing, you know, to kind of leave them guessing. And I just wonder if there's some middle ground between leaving someone guessing, if that's part of your stilo, because I know everybody has different styles, if that's part of your style, and also saying what you want to say, flirting back, you know, leaning into that sexiness, not always waiting for someone else to give you something when you have so much to give as well, you know, accessing your voice and your power to be sensual, to be sexy, to be flirty, to, you know, I mean, that is another side. Since I already started talking about feminine energy, you know, the dark feminine is what a lot of feminine energy teachers refer to that as, and just really operating in that and operating in that seduction and knowing that people like that, partners like that, you like that, they like that. And you can determine what ratio or what rules you want with that, but just that you do it and that it's okay for you to do it and it's safe for you to do it. And same thing, y'all, every initiation that you have with someone, especially when you're in this dating process, you're gathering information. If you are initiating being sexy, complimentary, doing little knickknack treats and gifts or whatever your love language is, and they are unappreciative, they're unresponsive, they feel entitled to it even, they demand more, they criticize it. This is all information for you to take in and not say, oh, well, let me figure out how to deal with it. I'm with someone who doesn't really like this and they criticize it, so let me address myself. No, same thing I said previous episode. You are looking to see who is the right fit, whether it's the right fit of this person for this season, or if you are someone who wants to have a long-term commitment to someone, then you're evaluating people to see if they can be a lifetime partner. And if this type of way that you show love and try to initiate connection does not fit for them, it does not fit. And you would be unwise for you to try to morph yourself to be something that you're not, and or fight with them, shame them, guilt them for not being the right fit for you. You know, when I look at my son, when he was first learning how to do puzzles, and y'all know the little bucket that has the square shape and the circle shape and the triangle shape, it reminds me of before he learned to actually put the pieces where they needed to go, he would fight like hell to get that circle in the square and just be mad and want to like turn it over and kick it and do all this stuff. And like, honey, you're the one who's making it harder than you need to. If you actually put it in the hole that it fits, it will go smoothly, easily, and it's a much enjoyable experience. And even sometimes after he learned how to do it, he would still try to force it in there. And that's that Taurus energy, I guess, that stubbornness. And I was like, same thing. You know, sometimes we know what to do and we still try to make things work. And, you know, this is where I'm going to end the metaphor, because there could be a lot of reasons for it. It could just go back to us not looking at maybe unresolved or unexposed parts of our story and our trauma that maybe have normalized that relationships and love and connection come with drama, come with dysfunction. And it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. I'm going to say forever and ever and ever that the honeymoon period, relationships take work and relationships take bumps and they're hard. But if your honeymoon period is like this, if the evaluation period is like this, then it is only going to be it's only setting the precedent and showing you in a microcosm what it's going to be like later. But just multiply that by 5 times, because life is going to life, and you need to have someone where y'all are on the same page with when it comes to communicating, connecting, building a friendship together where it can be mutual. So take this information in, don't ignore it. And if you already got feelings for somebody, and these last couple of episodes are making you think, I get it. I understand. There have absolutely been times that someone has exposed things to me. Even when I was dating my narcissist after I was in 12-step recovery, which is another reason why I'm here teaching this to y'all so y'all don't do this. When I was dating the guy who was a narcissist, I saw full out what was happening. And I shared that because I told one of my girlfriends at the time who was in the program with me, I was like, I know that he's like this. And I know what I need to do, but I just kind of have to ride this out so that I don't go back for it. And I know this might be a little bit of a controversial, dangerous thing to say, especially when it comes to narcissism, but I was only with this guy for like maybe a month and some change, maybe that long. And that includes the back and forths, because I just couldn't do it and my eyes were fully open. So I'm only saying that for y'all, if you're listening to this, that I understand that sometimes you can have the knowledge and you just kind of have to live with that knowledge for a little bit before you're like, no, that I refuse. I wish it was different, but all this stuff I just can't stomach anymore now that my eyes are open. So take your time, be kind with yourself, and choose you. Choose you, because that's the most loving thing to do, and it's best if you release that person as well to find a way that they can choose themselves and or be with partners that are a better fit for them. And yeah, so that is the second one. The third thing that I want to share for you to do when you like someone as a love avoidant, and this one is I am going to strongly suggest for you to do versus tell you to do, is I want you to trust that you at your most vulnerable, goofy, and imperfect moments, that the person that you're with wants to see that too. Again, love avoidance, for the most part, we are very good at presentation. We are experts at it. We are so good at crafting what we want other people to see, and they don't see anything less than anything more. And we're very good at damage control, and we're very good at messaging and personal marketing. And when it comes to intimate relationships, a lot of the reasons that we may start to push people away is because they may see those exposed parts. And it can, those unpolished moments, whether or not it's dancing really funny in your living room, or a weird way that you eat cookie dough, or that things are actually getting to you emotionally, you know, whatever the level of vulnerability and silliness and goofiness or imperfection that you have, your partner has chosen you because they want to get to know all of you. Again, this exists with healthy, available people. Even people that you're like, they're so amazing. If they see this part of me, they are going to run for the hills, and they're not. If anything, they may see it as quirky. They may see it, not quirky, that's not the word. Well, yes, quirky, but like endearing. They may see it as a special privilege that they get to see this part of you that other people don't. That's one of the magic things that happens when you're in a deep, intimate relationship, that you build this best friendship, that this kinship, this connection that is so private and just between the two of you. That is what makes it so sweet, and that's what makes it so safe. And you got to let them see those parts of you and not apologize for it. To not feel like you need to give disclaimers before you do it, or say, you probably think this, or you probably think that. And if that is what's happening for you, by the way, instead of you trying to act like you're not feeling a little bit vulnerable, instead of projecting what you think they think, because it's really about what you think, say, sometimes I feel this about myself. And sometimes I feel like this part of me is really silly. What do you think? And as much as I talk about not caring what other people think, I think because this is a safe person and a safe space, and let me amend that. Instead of you saying, what do you think, you can directly ask, because that question is really a bid for them to tell you that you're good enough, right? To tell you that you're pretty enough, that you're smart enough, that you're funny enough, that they're not going to leave. You can practice telling them what it is that you want for them. So this part of me kind of makes me feel embarrassed and makes me feel as if you might judge me. Can you tell me that this isn't that bad? Right? That kind of stuff. So hopefully that helps. But those are three things for you to do when you are starting off and you really like someone as a love avoidant, to move closer to them, to be open, to spend more time with them, to let them into your day, to not... create a whole separate life, because that's what we do as love avoidants. We're very good at compartmentalizing things because we have learned that that is what makes us able to function. And it's possible to involve people in multiple areas of your life. And yes, before you even say it, it is a risk. There is absolutely a risk in this, in that you can get really used to talking to this person all the time. You can really start to like the compliments. You can really start to truly fall in love in a deeper way than you've ever fell in love before. And it can be very, very scary to do this. Not it can be. It is very, very scary to do this. But I also want you to consider the possibility that maybe, especially because you're moving differently and literally you're a different version of yourself, that this relationship does not have to end in flames and fire. That maybe what could also happen is that this becomes something that's super beautiful, that is super loving and enriching, something that makes you better and makes them better. And even if it does end after a while, that you can leave without feeling like this was a waste of time, that this was wrong, that you lost out, that how you'll hear some people say that they really love somebody and they would never take back their time from them if they lost that person through due to death or circumstance or otherwise. Maybe that's an experience that you could have. And maybe that's an experience that you can understand, and that will become your new norm. That now when you're a partner with people, you have the most amazing relationships with them, and maybe one or two last long term and others just are there for the season, instead of, you know, the other ones that bring us to this place of healing in the first place. So that is my wish for all of you, that you have those moments and that becomes your new reality and truth. And yeah, so I hope you like this episode. All of the things that I mentioned that get in the way of us making these changes, of actually setting them in and they actually stay, versus us, we try to text them a little bit and then we get scared and we get busy and we don't know how to stay on track, or we don't know how to initiate, or we do initiate and then they say something that hurts our feelings and we feel like running, but we don't know if it's actually a them thing or a us thing. And then all the ways that our self-doubt, trauma stories and everything gets in the way. All those are the things that I help my students with in the recovery school. I'm sending you all so much love. As always, take care of yourselves, and I will see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days, in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.